while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Over the years that we've been part of the PHBC family, we have, and we'll see it from time to time, we deal with sermon topics, we deal with certain themes that focus on stuff that's contemporary, stuff that's relevant in our society. A couple of years ago, we had a sermon entitled Worldview, where we looked at the existing or the societal worldview. We looked at what society sees, what society says, how society thinks, how society chooses. And we had to make a decision. We had to get to a place and a point where we said, what is our response? How do we see the world? How do we speak? How do we journey in the world? I think it was a couple of years ago as well, we had a sermon series, some of you will remember, My Phone, My Faith, where we looked at the phone. This thing, I think you talked about it today, didn't you? By the way, I don't even know. Should I even preach after it's like 12, our 12th scripture reading. I'm going to ask Brother Bob to come forward. I'm like, whoa. I mean, there's no point. I'm just going to come up. We'll just sing that song and just say a benediction and go. And some of you are like, amen. No, we're not doing that. My phone, my faith, and looking about at how technology in the phone is how we as Christians are meant to use the phone. You know, the phone virtually controls the lives of some people. Some people, it's like they don't have their phone, they lose their minds. And today's sermon is, in a way, a little bit of a response to something that's becoming more and more and more prevalent, not just in our society, but in the world, around the world. And it's aimed at us understanding what truth is. The title is A Trusted Source. What is truth? What is truth? I mean, this isn't new. You know, people talk about truth, and the truth we're talking about as God's people is not some subjective, you know, my truth. But I'm sorry, with all respect, you ain't got no truth. Who are you? You just got here. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. Hey, did you see what I did there? You just got here. You know, the oldest person in this room is 97. She just got here. Truth existed before her. You don't have truth. You know, and it's important that we look at the absolute truth, the truth in God, the truth in His Word. For some of what I'll be saying today, some of it will be new, some of it will challenge you, some of it will challenge what you think, some of it will enlighten you, some of it might surprise you. And if you really want to find out a little bit more about this sort of stuff, we have the Firm Foundations class. Pastor Manuela, isn't that right? Yes, no, she's in a conversation, she can't hear me. Yeah, so Firm Foundations class that takes place every autumn. We've got one coming up soon. You'll hear the details where we actually delve into some of the things I'm going to be talking about today. Let me ask you a question. What is the difference between, where are my notes? And you talked about, I was just like, Monique, man, you know, just, I mean, I was going to talk about some of this stuff. So I'm having to adapt what I was, because so I don't repeat, you know. What's the difference between knowledge? No, I'm not saying wisdom now. Knowledge, facts, and truth. Can anybody give me a... Anybody? Wherever you are, just shout. Quick. Oh, Felix, of course.
Truth is the word of God.
Okay, fair.
Knowledge is what you get from God and what you see.
Okay.
Facts are what you see.
Okay, he says truth is the word of God. Knowledge you get from God, what you see. Facts are what you see. I like that. Any takes on that? I sound like an auctioneer now. Anyone going once, bang, done. Even though it sounded like I was speaking in tongues there, don't worry about it. Knowledge is what we have come to, whoa, what we have come to know and understand, knowledge, right? And knowledge, what we see and hear, what we're taught, what we've come to know. The facts are what happened. And the truth is a different thing entirely. We'll talk about truth in a moment, or as we journey together. Now, let me ask you another question. Is everything in the Bible fact? Yes or no? Who says everything in the Bible is fact? Hands up. A few hands. Everything in the Bible is a fact. Fantastic. So it actually happened. Fantastic. Is everything in the Bible truth? Who says that? Okay, more hands went up. Some people kept their hands down, so they don't believe everything in the Bible is true. I wonder why you're here. or maybe you're not sure. Or you think it's a trick question. How many people think it's a trick question? Nobody. Because I noticed some of you didn't put your hands up. What's that about? Yes, sir. Exactly. The point Andy just made is the Bible sometimes quotes people who are not telling the truth. So it's still a fact. So let me ask the question again. How many people here believe everything in the Bible actually happened? Hands up. Thank you very much. Okay, hands down. How many people believe the Bible is true? Hands up. Okay, it's truth. Okay. Now let me go there. Are you ready? Not everything in the Bible is a fact. The prodigal son was a story. It was a parable. It wasn't a real person. Yes? So it was not fact. But the story of the prodigal son is truth, because it helps us to come into a truth about who God is and who we should be in the light of who God is. Do you understand now the distinction? So it didn't actually happen, so you can't say it is fact. But it is truth, because there's truth in it. You know, now, let's move on from this. Last weekend, I was doing a leadership training day for the leadership of East Barnet Baptist Church. It was on leadership. And the first thing I did, I needed to do some research on leadership. So when I wanted to do research on leadership, where's the first place I went? No, be comfortable. I want to find out about leadership. Where's the first place I went? Google. Some people are trying to be holy. They said Bible. Really? Bro, relax, man. Yeah, relax. I just went to Google, you know? Like, yeah, you know, so like, oh, it's pastor, oh, it must be the Bible. Don't do a research on Nehemiah or Moses or Daniel. Nah, man, I just went on Google. As if you don't go on Google. Because Google has all the answers, right? I mean, Jesus is the answer, but Google has all the answers, right? And you know, when I looked up the word leadership, there's an image media team are going to put on screen. I don't know how clear you can see it. There's an image, and it shows the number of results when I typed in leadership. Just over 5.2 billion results when I searched for the word leadership. 5.2 billion. So information is good. I wanted to have this information. I wanted to have this knowledge when I went to talk to these people about leadership. Again, I'll come back to this. I'll refer to this a little bit later on. Thank you. You can take that off the screen. Here's my question. Everybody answer together. What is 2 plus 2?
4.
I'll ask again. What is 2 plus 2?
4.
In the world that we live, are you sure that 2 plus 2 is 4?
Yes.
Are you sure? This one, you know, forgive me, I'm going to go there. You know, you might think, oh, this guy. In a world where, you know, I can identify as Prince Charles, you know, even though he's not a prince anymore, you know, I can identify. I said to someone, I identify as a billionaire. Where's my money? Give me my money. I identify as a billionaire, you know. Is 2 plus 2 4? It is. Are you sure it is 4? You know, we live in a world where things are increasingly subjective. It's down to everybody's interpretation. You know, in our text for today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14, all the way to chapter 4, verse 4 or 5, Paul is writing to his protege, and he's giving him some God-inspired counsel. I'm just going to read quickly. I'm going to try and fly through this. You know, he says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned, become convinced of it, because you know those from whom you learned it. Where did you learn 2 plus 2 being 4? Did you just learn it now? You've learned it from long ago. And you know, your knowledge, your understanding has been corroborated by multiple credible, trusted sources. Multiple people have said 2 plus 2 is 4. You've done the calculation yourself. Take 2, add 2, 1, 2, 3, 7. No, 4. You know 2 plus 2 to be 4 because you learned it from long ago from credible sources. That's what Paul is talking about here. Then he goes on to say to Timothy, and he says the same thing, from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And then verse 16 of chapter 3, he says, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. All Scripture, saints. You've heard me talk about the various translations of the Bible. You know the different versions. We have the King James Version. We've heard about that. And we have the New King James. Have we heard about that? ESV, English Standard Version. Anybody know that one? Any other versions? Does anybody know the NRSV? What's that? New Revised Standard Version. Okay, what else? The Message, we know that one, so it's not really a version, but you know, we include that. NIV, yes, NIV, NLT, New Living Translation. Pardon? You start talking about Bible, there's always a theologian. Amplified and Amplified Classica. There's always a theologian. There's always somebody who went to school and studied to show themselves approved. Thank you. Has anybody heard about the PCV? Do we know the PCV? I've mentioned the PCV. It's quite a popular version. It's the pick and choose version. You're like, yeah, I like that verse. I'll do it. Oh, nah, I don't like that verse. Nah, it's not for me. You know, we pick and choose the verses that suit our narrative. But Scripture says here, it says all Scripture is God-breathed. So God is the source and is the inspiration. It is for teaching, which means it tells you how to live. It is for rebuking. Oh, we don't rebuke anymore. Because everybody can identify as a fish or an octopus or a helicopter, you know. You can identify as anything. So it was like, oh, well, your truth. So we can't rebuke them anymore. But that's outside of Scripture. Scripture is there to correct, to rebuke, to save us from sin, to tell us when we're wrong. Number 4, it's there for correction so that we can put things right. And number 5, it's there for training. It needs to be part of our daily life. Verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have all of this stuff as part of our toolbox to make sure we're living the way we should. Verse chapter 4, it says, in the presence of God who will judge living and the dead, in the view of his appearance, appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. And then Paul says to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. He says, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Again, I want to point us back, pull us back, draw us back. What is the purpose of Scripture? This thing that we have heard long ago that has been corroborated by multiple credible people that we know to be true. Then, when we get to verse 3 of chapter 4, Paul writes, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. The pick and choose version. People who say, oh, you stole from your employer? Oh, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just don't do it again. It's not really. No, it is theft, and theft is a sin. Are we still allowed to use the word sin? Not everybody answered. The story is told of a man who went to the pastor. I think I've said this before. Who went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I noticed you don't preach about sin. The pastor said, oh, which of your sins would you like to preach? No, he said, I noticed you don't preach about sin. The pastor said, oh, like what? He said, oh, like theft and adultery and whatever it was, the third one he named. And the guy said, oh, are you struggling with theft and adultery? He said, oh, not me, other people. And the pastor answered, oh, you want me to preach about other people's sin, not yours? Isn't it amazing? We're happy for the pastor to preach about other people's sin. What about ours? And people, Paul's, and this was written thousands of years ago, says people gather around them those who will say what their itching ears want to hear, who will preach a message that keeps us happy, keeps us, ha ha ha, Creflo Dollar, whether you like him or you don't like him. In 2006, 2007, the man said, we are goosebumps junkies. All we want to do is come to church and feel good. I feel good. That's not what church is about. That's all we want is the na 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 na. Oh, how was church today? Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Oh, the songs of the worship. Pastor preached the word. Oh, no, 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 no. 20 years ago, just over 20 years ago, actually, some research was done talking about truth. Asking, is truth, does truth exist? So this is quite old research. And over 60% of the people says there's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is relative. Truth depends on the situation you're in. Like, for example, stealing. Is stealing right or is it wrong? Well, it depends. You know, not there are, now, I'm not saying there aren't situations where you'd steal. For example, if you were under the rule of Adolf Hitler, one of the most evil men that ever walked on earth, you were under his rule. And he said, this food is for officers and that food is for the people in captivity. And you took the food for the officers and you gave it to the people in captivity. Is it stealing? Yes. It actually is actually stealing, actually. But do we understand why you did it? Yes. Is there grace available for that? It's understandable. We get it. Because what you were doing was an act of justice. It doesn't mean it's not stealing. And do you understand what I'm saying? You still stole it. And it's like, well, don't call it stealing. You still stole it from the bad guy to give it to the good guy. Can we still call it what it is? And unfortunately, no, maybe not surprising, Christians are the ones more likely to accept that truth is absolute. Non-Christians were like, nah, truth, it depends on what day of the week, what direction the wind is blowing. You know, my truth is different from his truth, is different from her truth. How can there be three versions of truth? How? And there's a truth vacuum. Truth is one of the pillars upon which we build our society. It's from truth we get our morals, our ethics, our values. It is from truth we understand justice. It is from truth we understand love. And if we erode truth, it's all gone. And we're hit in so many directions with so many opinions from what is truth and whether truth really exists. You know, the world is asking the questions, is truth true? Even though this research came out years ago, people are questioning it now. People are saying, I don't even know. I don't even know. Unfortunately, sadly, these days, and yeah, it's going to sound a way, but I've started, so I'll finish. It's almost, now you can almost find a church that will accept almost anything you say. I identify as a helicopter. Trust me, there's a church that will say, yeah, yeah, that's okay. Come, you're good. I believe in this, that, or the other thing. Yeah, that's okay. Oh, we all serve the same God. There are churches that say, yeah, that's true. No, we don't. Not all religions serve the same God. What are you doing? What are you doing, Pastor? You understand? And it's so subjective. We're all in this thing. And sadly, there will always be a church that will give you that thing, the things that our itching ears want to hear. Yet the church is called to declare truth, a truth that has existed before the foundation of the world. And Paul tells Timothy to hold on to this, to hold on to this truth, to conduct himself in a way that upholds the standards of God, the living God. Because if the church doesn't believe the truth, who will? If the church cannot defend the truth and speak in truth and call truth truth, who will? Who will? The world around us makes excuses for evil actions. And sadly, we leave things until they're almost too late. We're in a society that's trying to push God away as far as we can. And the only thing that changes the heart of sinful people is Jesus. Let me tell you that. I'm going to sneeze. Wow. That was interesting. Was that a dignified sneeze? Some of you are like, what? You call that a sneeze? What kind of pastor are you anyway? You know, Hurricane Katrina. Woodrow. The only thing that changes the hearts of sinful people is Jesus. And I believe that without apology. Let me tell you this. I believe it, that your good works ain't doing jack. Only Jesus can bring the change. And people now have no fear, no respect for God, because sadly, too many of us Christians have diluted the truth. The church is too busy trying to keep up with the culture of the world, keep up with societal standards, that we've lost our focus, lost in many regards, our emphasis on the truth. A lot of the social problems in our world, you know, wouldn't exist, you know, if the church would just go out there and do the right thing. And if Christians would continue to go out there and do the right things. Jesus is still the answer. So, the church needs to understand the only way for a person to be saved is through Christ. Now, let me be clear. Christ isn't one of the truths. Christ is the truth. He's the truth, the only truth. Every other is not true. You know, in John, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we must continue to believe the truth. The truth that has been given to us by God, his unchanging word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Let me just bring this, you know. He says, people will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Myths, conspiracy theories. You know, Monique was talking about, who are we believing? When we get stuff on the internet, get stuff on WhatsApp, get stuff on email, right? I used to run a digital media company. I can design stuff, right? Trust me, I can design stuff. I've designed, some of you are close to me, I've shown you stuff I've designed. You know, I can put your head on top of a peacock if I want to, you know? It's design, it's the technology exists to do that. Are we actually checking? How far back are we going? Someone stands in front of a video, the thing comes up, Professor Bobson of School of Pathological Oriental Studies in African Biology, from the University of Springfield. There's no University of Springfield, it's a lie. And we just believe it. We just take it. And here, let me tell you something. Let me also tell you this, because there's also another technique. I don't care if the devil is telling me the truth. I'm not taking it from him. Did you hear what I just said? Even though what he's saying is true, if it's coming from Satan, there's a string attached. When Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan went up to him and said, isn't it true? He said he will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against us. Satan quoted the scriptures to Jesus. The string was, jump off the cliff. Jump off the cliff. People think, oh yes, Satan is, the Bible says he's a liar and the father of all lies. Yes, he is. Somebody said, yesterday I said, oh, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. The person said, yeah, and his mother-in-law is a liar as well. And I'm like, wow, never heard that one. Wow. I mean, how did you go there? I don't care who this person is. Unless I can corroborate who they are, I don't care if what they're saying is right. I'm not listening. Leave it. And it is important that we continue to resist the temptation to compromise the truth. You know, sometimes we don't want to offend, we don't want to, you know, we stay silent and we compromise. And so we start to believe all sorts of things. I have to do this, forgive me. A few years ago, we started the Pollard Hill Community Fund Day 2021. I don't know those of you who remember, we went to Moat, the large housing provider, you know, we said, hey, this is what we're doing. We're just letting you know. They said, hey, we'd love to collaborate with you. Want to partner with you. Do you remember that? They said, hey, we've got some money. We can even give you some money. I'm like, woo, they're going to give us money. Yay, thank you. And then they gave us money. And then the next thing afterwards, they were like, oh, you lot, we're playing Christian music. Nah, if we're going to give you our money, you can't be playing Christian music in the event. And you know what we said? Bye. There's a £185,000 community investment fund. That would pay for a number of fund days, wouldn't it? Yeah. But we said, no, we're not doing that. We are not going to compromise on the biblical values that, to which we hold. They're perfectly happy to fund it. They were like, nah, but all of that Jesus stuff, yeah, you need to leave it out. It's a community thing. And I was like, yeah, all of that money stuff, you need to leave it out. We're about the Jesus thing. Thank God. We're now in a place, things have moved a little bit. We're actually in discussions now. They were like, oh, we'd like to help. I'm like, well, you know our values. And they were like, yeah, we know, but we'd like to help. So now we're having a different conversation, and I give God thanks for that. I think they've seen that we're serious. We're not just trying to push religion. And Paul says here, keep your head in all situations. He's talking to Timothy about being ready to face opposition to the truth, to Jesus being the truth, the life, and the way. I want to show you some things. I'm gonna skip it here. I want to show you some things in terms of believing the truth. And those of you who are on radio, or if you're listening to this on audio playback, please accept my apologies. You're not going to be able to see what I have on screen. Let me ask this question. Can truth be built on lies? Is that possible? If the foundation is a lie, it remains a lie. Remember what I was saying about Satan. There's a string attached. Truth cannot be built on lies. It cannot be. The foundation is destroyed. The foundation is faulty. And in some regards, sometimes what we do is we take human theories and human thinking, and then we wrap it in Bible paper, and we sell it to people, right? And there's subtle deception around what we say, what we should believe, how we should communicate, what we're supposed to accept. You know, this is a time for us to remember the source of what we're believing. You must remember the source of what you're believing. Earlier at the beginning of this sermon, I talked about when I was researching the word leadership, and how Google had 5.2 billion search results. Let me tell you how Google works, and this is important. I want to just do this. Google is just a database. Google is a big computer with information in it. And you know how the information got there? People put it in there. Somebody told Google. So when you go to Google and you search something, what you're doing, you're not, people say, oh, go and search the internet. What you're actually searching, there's a company called Google. And that company has these massive computers with lots of information. When you search Google, you're not searching the internet. You're searching what Google says is on the internet. That's why sometimes if you use Google to search, it's different to if you use Bing to search. It's different to if you use DuckDuckGo to search. It's different. There are different ways to search. And each one that you search, you're using what they have found on the internet. It's just that Google is the biggest. Just because they found it on the internet doesn't make it true. It's one of the reasons everybody has a degree in Google. Everybody. Your doctor says, we have to cut off your toenail. What do we do next? Ask Dr. Google. Google's not your doctor. Stop. Anyways, let me tell you, so that's how Google works. Now, do you know what Google has been replaced with as the fount of all knowledge? AI. AI. 2022, a company called OpenAI launched a product 3 years ago called ChatGPT. That was the first time I used it, and I didn't use it until 2025. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, this is really interesting. I can ask it questions, and I can do this, and I can, oh, ChatGPT, AI. And a lot of people continue to use it. You know, it's not the only one. ChatGPT is one. Gemini is another one. DeepSeek is from China. Let me tell you how they work. How it works is there's a computer that's sitting there. When you ask it the question, do you know what it does? It remembers your question. And then it gives you some sort of answer. And then you respond to that answer. It remembers how you responded to that answer. And it continues to store and store and store and store information that people are feeding into it. That people are, AI is not God. It remembers the information that people put into it. And then you know what it does next? it uses that information as to how it responds to other people. Every time you use it, you are teaching it about who? Yourself. Every time you ask it a question, you are teaching that thing how you think. I love it when people say, oh, AI is just taking over. You know, it's taking over our jobs. You know, every time, I mean, I go in there and I ask it questions. You are the problem. I'm not saying don't use technology. And in some regards, it's inevitable. We've started sliding down the slope. We can't stop. The brakes are not going to work. But that's what happens. Earlier this month, you know, I was talking with somebody. And the thing that astounds me is, in fact, three people over the last 1 month, after that I created this sermon topic, three people, I was talking to them about AI, and they were like, yeah, and every time I speak to, you know, every time I go into ChatGPT, and he said to me that, I was just like, he? No, we're humanizing this thing. And we don't understand how dangerous that is. But then we complain, there are no jobs. The economy is going down the toilet. Only the billionaires are getting rich. We don't realize subtly and in those little, very subtle shades of gray, those little, seemingly insignificant things we're doing, how it's contributing to that. And they're talking to this machine as if it was a human being. To the point that last month there was a woman on the internet who said, I went online and I typed some things in tongues. I spoke in tongues, and ChatGPT interpreted the tongues. And saints, you can laugh. But that thing is already in the church. The number of pastors who are using ChatGPT to create their sermons because they can't be bothered to go into the scriptures for themselves. Lazy people who are feeding junk to God's people. From a computer, ChatGPT, give me a fantastic, uplifting sermon. And the thing spits some junk out. When I used it in 2022, do you know, I asked it two questions. I said, ChatGPT, can you write a sermon? I asked the question, can you write a sermon? I think I shared it with Sumi at the time. I said, this thing is very dangerous. And the answer to me said, I can write a sermon, but I'm not a human being. I have never experienced what people have experienced from scripture. So I would not know how to bring I don't know, whatever it was. He was talking about the fact that you're a human being. You know, if you go and study, or a pastor who has studied will be able to bring real world experience, bring the intonation and, you know, inflections to what they're teaching. I haven't tried it again. I'll show you in a moment how I used it. I haven't tried to go there. I'm sure if I said, ChatGPT, can you write a sermon? Say, yeah, give me your topic. I'm ready for you, dude. Because people are just using this thing carelessly. We don't think about our tomorrow in what we do today. We want our satisfaction now. We're not thinking about the source of our information. So this lady said ChatGPT interprets tongues for her. You know, let me show you. Remember I said ChatGPT finds that it learns about you. You. The reason it was able to interpret the tongues is because ChatGPT is her buddy, is her bestie. She talks to that machine about everything. Everything that happens in church, she puts it in there. So the thing was like, and what is it going to do? It's going to spit out what it thinks you want to hear. It doesn't make it truth. Every time I come up, what is the thing that you hear me say? What's the phrase? Say it. My name is Pastor Deji. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I went to go and use AI. If somebody else said, my name is Pastor Deji, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you agree with them? If somebody else said it?
Yes.
You would. Okay. Listen to this.
My name is Pastor Deji. This is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it.
My name is Pastor Deji. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
My name is Pastor Deji. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
My name is Pastor Day G. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
My name is Pastor Day G. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I tell you this, and it's easy. Every single one of these, I didn't choose the picture. I didn't choose the background. I just went there and I typed, I want a woman saying it. Boom. It created the picture. It created the video. It created the voice. 100% computer generated. Those people who do not know me will believe her name is Deji, or the other guy's name is Deji. Again, we're not checking the source. We're not going back. My name. Now, which one of these five people is the real Pastor Deji? Let me ask you this question. Are you sure that none of them is the real Pastor Deji?
Yes.
So how do you know they're not the real Pastor Deji? Because you know me. Because you know me. How do you know God is speaking? Get to know God. Let me show you another video. Are you ready? This video, 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon. I was talking about generations. I was talking about people of faith that have gone before us, right? And I talked about, people of faith. While I was preaching, Evadne came to the front, sat here, and started to film. So you'll see both sides of that happening. Here's the video now. And almost every one of us has a story about someone we know that was a person of influence. Faith influence to who we are. Faith influence in our life. Listen maybe, to the maybe words. It was a mother or a father. Listen to the a words. Grandmother, grandfather, someone of faith, someone whose faith was so big, so great, so giant, so influential that their faith goes beyond, has gone beyond who they are. You watched these people. You saw them love people. You heard them pray. You saw them, holding on to faith. You saw them going through, and you saw the power of God showing up in their lives. In those times where they should have been discouraged, those times where they should have given up, most of us, if not all of us, have someone we can think of that has encouraged us or inspired us in one way or another. And at the same time as we saw them battle, we saw them win. We saw their prayers answered. We saw them stay kind. Even when things were difficult, when they were in conflict, when they were in turmoil, they stayed humble. They stayed gracious. We saw them fight for what they believed. Saw them remain consistent when others were a little bit wishy-washy and giving up. We saw them take a bad situation and stand strong because God was with them in the middle of that situation. We saw them take lemons and make lemonade. Now here's my question. Was that the real Pastor Deji? Yeah, yes? Yes, that was me, right? You heard the words I was saying. I took those same words. I put them into AI. And this is what happened.
PHBC family, every one of us has a story about someone that we know or knew who was a great faith influence in our life. A grandmother or grandfather.
Mother or father. A person whose faith was so great, so giant, so influential that it literally outlives them.
You saw them love. You heard them pray. You saw them keep going through Jesus's power when they should have been discouraged and quit.
You saw their prayers answered. Saw them stay kind in the middle of conflict. Saw them fight for what they believed. Saw them stay consistent when others were giving up. Saw them take a bad situation and believe God in the middle of it.
You saw them take lemons and make lemonade.
I just took the words from my notes and I punched it in. And the computer, I said, give me five different people. It did that. It did that. I remember one time Sumi came into the study. She was like, why do you have lots of pictures? Just people were standing in front of a cross. She didn't realize what I was doing. Because one of the things I said, I want a brick wall with a wooden cross. That's all. Look. It's a different wall. And let me show you finally. It was back in, I don't know what, a couple of years ago, 2 years ago. Somebody took this picture of me. Right? This is a picture that I have, that I own, and he took this picture of me. This was in 2023, right? And you see that picture? See the blue background? So I then took this picture myself, I put it in the computer using my Photoshop jiggery-pokery thing. I took the blue background off. You can't see it really clearly, but the top of my head on the left side, it looks like I've had more than a haircut. You know, those of you who are really close to the screen, or, you know, if it's full screen for those of you at home, you can see there's bits of it. Because, you know, just cutting around the image, it wasn't so crystal clear. And you might not be able to see it, but under my, what arm is this? My right arm, there's a little bit of blue left over from the original image. And then what I did, I put a black background on it. And then what I did, I gave it to the computer. I said, create a video. Look at this very carefully. Look at this image before I hit play. Can you see my watch isn't visible? I said, create a video. And this thing created this. Oh, where's it gone? Yeah, this. There's no sound. From a picture. From a picture. The interesting thing as I watched this is like every time it did it, there was a different watch on my wrist. I don't know where it was getting these watches from. You could, oh, the system knows I like watches. Well, I don't use it, so. Did you notice that? It was just, it made it move. Same picture, now I said, put me in a church with a brick background and a cross on the wall, and it did this. Saints of God, I created all of this in 2 days. With very, very little experience of using artificial intelligence. 2 days on my home computer. What do you think someone who does not know the Lord, who has evil intent and has the money and the time to do it, what do you think they can do to discredit the work of the Lord? And I want to encourage you again, I say it again and again. Check the source. The word of God that we believe, this word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, is a trusted source. It is trusted. ChatGPT is not your friend. It is not the source of truth. It is not even necessarily a source of facts. It is just like Google. It can only tell you what others have told it. And as I finish, I want to read the Bible text from this sermon one more time. I'm reading it from the Message. Paul writes, don't let it faze you. Stick with what you have learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing its truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us how to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. And he is about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge. Warn and urge people, don't ever quit. Keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and choose mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. Earlier on, I asked you the question, what is 2 plus 2? Everybody shouted 4. Here's my follow-up question. If the whole world says 2 plus 2 is 7, does it make it 7? No matter what anyone says, the absolute truth of God's word, the truth of God, remains the truth. And it remains true. And we know it is true because it is the source of truth. It is true because it is from a source that we can trust.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.